from WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. For months, Dick Cheney and John Edwards have been sparring from a distance over their running mates and running the government.
The President of the United States must be clear and consistent. But in all the national campaigns I've watched up close, I've never seen a candidate go back and forth so many times on a single issue.
John and I'll do this because we know that a job is about more than a paycheck. It's about dignity and self-respect. This is something George Bush and Dick Cheney don't understand.
Tonight in Cleveland, the two vice presidential candidates meet face-to-face for their only debate of the campaign. In one corner, John Edwards, trial lawyer, one-term North Carolina senator, and Democratic primary presidential contender, whose rags-to-riches story and sunny optimism struck a chord with the American public. In the other, Dick Cheney, arguably the most influential vice president of all time, a former congressman and defense secretary who has taken heat about his time at the helm of Halliburton, his vice presidential secrecy, and his unyielding insistence on an apparently flawed case for war in Iraq. With 4 weeks to go before the election, the Kerry-Bush race is, once again, neck and neck. Past debates between the number twos on the ticket have had little impact on who wins in November. This time could be different. Tonight on Point, the Cheney-Edwards debate, the men, the issues, and the stakes for the presidential campaigns. What's your advice for John Edwards tonight, for Dick Cheney? And how much can the number twos help or hurt their running mates this evening? What's at stake for Bush, for Kerry, in the VP debate? You can join the conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We begin on the campus of Case Western University in Cleveland, Ohio, with John Harwood, national political editor for The Wall Street Journal. John, thanks for being with us tonight.
Hey, Tom.
Tell us what's the scene there, John. What's the setup going to be? How will it be different from last week's presidential debate, John?
Well, you couldn't tell the difference so far because it's the usual madhouse of spin-meisters walking around trying to get reporters to condition their minds in certain ways before the debates, talking about what fabulous debaters the other side is. Most of that goes out the window in a little bit less than an hour, and we're going to see two guys with very different styles and very different records go at it for 90 minutes.
We saw the rules and the layout in Miami. At this debate, it's going to be seated. Is it going to be the same format, John, or something different?
It'll be substantially similar to what we had in Miami last week with Jim Lehrer. Gwen Ifill, the public broadcasting anchor and correspondent, is going to be handling the questioning. The fact that the two candidates are seated at a table is probably an advantage for Dick Cheney. He's better in a conversational format. He's an older guy. John Edwards is very youthful-looking and physical and moves around a lot, as he did when he was practicing law in a courtroom, a little bit better when he can move around. So, but John Edwards has got plenty of skills to take in this debate, and we're going to see one guy who's kind of dry and the other guy who's very, very emotional and effusive when he talks.
John Harwood, to the extent that you can, and I'm sure you can, bravado and spin aside, how do the two camps see the challenge for each of their vice presidential candidates tonight?
They have two very, very different challenges. John Edwards is going to go after the guy who's sitting across the table from him. That's because Dick Cheney is so involved symbolically and substantively, so identified with the administration's policies. He's the architect of their energy policy. He's played a big role in national security. He's identified publicly, and this is not to Cheney's advantage right now, with a lot of the claims about the weapons of mass destruction and the threat posed by Saddam Hussein before the war. Dick Cheney's got a different portfolio here. He wants to go after John Kerry. For him, John Edwards is irrelevant. John Edwards is a one-term senator. The guy he needs to go after is the top of the ticket and try to do some damage on Kerry the way that George W. Bush failed to do last Thursday.
John, let me ask you, it was widely judged after last week's debate that John Kerry won. Just how alarmed were Republicans by the Bush-Kerry first debate, and the polls that followed that have got them neck and neck again? Are they really concerned as Dick Cheney sits down across from John Edwards tonight?
They've been very concerned because these stories feed on themselves. A lot of presidential politics is about who's hot, who's got the momentum. And I asked a Bush campaign strategist the other day, why do the poll numbers keep turning for John Kerry a couple of days after the debate, and he said people like a winner. And right now they're reading headlines that say John Kerry won. That pulls people to him. However, the Bush strategists say, as of this afternoon, that they think the movement to Kerry is stopped, and Republicans are fairly confident that Dick Cheney, who's been around national politics for more than 30 years, is going to be able to hold his own and be very reassuring to the American people, especially on national security, which is the dominant issue in the election.
If he goes after John Kerry and not the man sitting across from him at the table, is that a kind of diminishment of John Edwards in itself?
Yes, but it also is a reflection of the fact that this thing is going to be decided on the top of the ticket. Edwards can approach it differently because Cheney is so interwoven with the top of the ticket. You know, people have made jokes from the beginning about Dick Cheney playing a larger than normal vice presidential role, and it appears that there's a lot of substance to that, and he's somebody who brought a very strong national security portfolio into the administration, and this has turned out to be a war presidency. So he is more relevant to the choice between Kerry and George W. Bush than John Edwards is.
Well, there's the setup in Cleveland. John Harwood at Case Western, enjoy the debate, and thanks a lot for helping us frame it tonight.
My pleasure.
John Harwood, national political editor with The Wall Street Journal. We are joined now from New York by Walter Shapiro, political columnist for USA Today, author of One Car Caravan, the amazing true story of the 2004 Democratic race from its humble beginnings to the Boston Convention, just out in paperback. Walter Shapiro, thanks for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you. And I want to stress that the reason I'm not in Cleveland is largely that I find these spin, when I'm writing on deadline, as I will be soon,
yes,
I find the spin rooms and the media filing centers to be really distracting from what is really the TV imagery that the American voters will be seeing.
So you'll be watching it as American voters watch it. You don't need those guys walking around with their big sign carriers behind them saying, Rove is here.
Yes. Well, all these people are political geniuses if their candidate wins. And their political asterisks if he doesn't.
Also with us tonight from Hanover, New Hampshire, On Point News analyst Jack Beatty, senior editor at the Atlantic Monthly. Jack, great to have you on board.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Walter.
Hello, Jack.
So Walter, take us into the chemistry a little bit of this. We've got a lot to talk about on the substance tonight, but what different men? You've been out on the campaign trail so much. I mean, these could hardly be more different personas. What are you expecting when they meet, when they even clash tonight?
Well, I mean, just for sheer entertainment, for all the serious issues facing this country, this is the entertainment spectacular of the four debates, in the sense that it's really hard to think of two people who have less in common on the North American continent, with the possible exception of maybe Barry Bonds and a Harvard professor. basically, Cheney is the ultimate insider. He was the White House chief of staff in 1975 when John Edwards was just starting law school in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He seamlessly moved from the political arena to being a CEO of Halliburton in 1995, and he seamlessly moved back as the chairman of George W. Bush's vice presidential search committee.
And what do you know? He emerged as the vice president.
Exactly. Edwards, on the other hand, is as close up to a political natural as any person in the Democratic Party not named Clinton in the last 20 years. He almost won the Iowa caucuses by the strength of his oratory, by his personal appeal. He finished a close second to Kerry in Iowa, with no organization to speak of, really doing it by the power of his voice. And going into this, first of all, this will be our first introduction to domestic policy.
Right. All foreign policy last week.
This will be probably half and half.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, Edwards, with his populist appeal, really has an ability to hold up Cheney as sort of the embodiment of smug corporate republicanism, the corporate republicanism symbolized by tax cuts for the rich.
Are you so confident it will turn out that way? Or does Dick Cheney sit back, look like the big man in charge, and make John Edwards look wet behind the ears?
That is possible, which is why, I don't like to treat debates as theatrical reviews. But for this one, it is theater, because to a large extent, it's really Edwards' style is, as John Harwood indicated earlier, not best suited for a situation where he has to remain static, where he has to, I guess, for pain of electrodes, remain seated in his chair. I think by reading the debate rules, he is allowed to rise once to shake hands with Dick Cheney at the beginning of the debate.
And that's it. Then bolt it to the chair, buddy.
Bolt it to the chair.
Jack Beatty, what do you expect from this confrontation tonight?
Well, you know, Waldo was talking about how different these men are. Mrs. Edwards was asked about Mrs. Cheney, and she said, I met her once, and I rarely met her. I've never met a woman with whom I had less in common.
Ooh, not mincing any words there.
Not mincing any words. So, yes, these people are so different. You know, Dick Cheney has the resume, but he also has the burden of that resume. He was among the most conservative, which is to say, from my point of view, meanest-spirited Republicans in the House. I mean, voting against school lunches, voting against, Head Start, voting against censuring the South African government for jailing, or voting against a petition to get Nelson Mandela out of jail again and again and again. You know, the only people that were further right were the double X chromosomes guys in the House.
But Jack, that's ancient history, isn't it? I mean, he was seen by many on the right as having been the stalwart who helped George Bush save the country after 9/11.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he brings those political values, that kind of flinty spirit to his outlook on the country, and nothing could be more different from John Edwards, who has a sense of generosity and things are possible. And there is about Dick Cheney just this feeling of kind of dark, brooding pessimism, and his view of government is just pretty much that it should help those who are already helped. And, well, so too bad about those school lunches.
Walter Shapiro, and yet Dick Cheney has been very much loved by George Bush's Republican wing.
He has been much loved by George Bush's Republican wing, but I was looking at a poll put out by the Annenberg Center on favorable and unfavorable ratings. And I believe Cheney's numbers are 37% favorable and 47% unfavorable. And that is a bit of a burden for the Republican ticket, that they get certain strength, certain gravitas with Cheney. They get the worldly, I'm in charge here experience. But they also get someone who, other than this Republican base, does not appeal to the kind of swing voters in places like Ohio and Florida on whom this election will pivot.
Walter, last week when John Kerry made his case, we saw President Bush grimacing, looking irritated, worried, the whole string of even annoyed sometimes. When John Edwards goes into his trial lawyer presentation tonight, what do you expect to see on the face of the vice president?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, Dick Cheney, left by himself, can radiate in campaign appearances, oh, God, the things I have to do to keep this job.
But he has never been afraid on this campaign trail to be brutal in his charges and criticism.
Exactly. He is playing the same vice presidential attack dog role that Al Gore played in 1992. And less successfully, Bob Dole played with his orations about Democrat wars in the 1976 vice presidential debate with Walter Mondale.
But that, interestingly, John Edwards has not played much. We'll talk about why and what the effect of that has been. Walter Shapiro, Jack Beatty, stand by. We are getting ready tonight for the Cheney-Edwards debate, looking at the men, the issues, and the stakes for the presidential campaign in the vice presidential standoff. You can join the conversation. What's your advice tonight for John Edwards? What's your advice for Dick Cheney? How much can the number two men help or hurt their candidates tonight? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about the Cheney-Edwards debate due to kick off in Cleveland, Ohio, just about 40 minutes from now. We're joined tonight by Walter Shapiro, political columnist for USA Today. Our own Jack Beatty is with us. You can join us as well. Is this the clash between Mr. Sunshine and the Shadow, Darth Vader? Is that fair? Is that a helpful way of looking at this at all? Do these two men tonight need to convince you that they are qualified to step up to the presidency if necessary? And what is at stake tonight for George Bush, for John Kerry, in the vice presidential debate? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining us now from Silver Spring, Maryland, is James Mann. He's author of The Rise of the Vulcans, The History of Bush's War Cabinet. He's an author in residence at Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, longtime correspondent in Washington. James Mann, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Hi, good to be with you.
Great to be with you. You've watched and written about Dick Cheney at great depth. What do you expect is going through the vice president's mind tonight as he prepares to sit in front of the country, and confront John Edwards?
I think that he's going to want to make the points attacking John Kerry. I think he is going to act like most vice presidents do and attack the other to serve as really the cutting edge in attacking the other candidate.
And you know, of course, 4 years ago he was debating Joe Lieberman. After that debate, James Mann, there was a criticism from Republicans of Dick Cheney that he wasn't tough enough on Lieberman. That, do you expect him to be tough tonight, or might he be afraid that would look bad?
Tougher. You know, it's interesting. He has changed in one respect from 4 years ago. I mean, this is a guy who for 25 or 30 years has been deeply conservative and interested in public policy. What he hasn't been until the last 3 or 4 years, he's really tended to be a behind-the-scenes figure. And, you know, when you talk about the debate in 2000, during that campaign, there were questions of whether he was enough of a national politician. He was perceived as really, in some ways, more bureaucrat than politician. Well, the last 4 years have certainly changed that. And, you know, when he gave the big speech in 2002, really pushing the administration to move ahead and intervene in Iraq, that's an unusual role for him. I mean, this is a guy who in Congress didn't give floor speeches, really liked to operate behind the scenes. And really in the last 4 years, he's become really an out front guy, and we'll see that in the debate.
Walter Shapiro, Dick Cheney brings a lot of baggage to this debate tonight. You know, he said that American troops in Iraq would be greeted as liberators. He called General Shinseki's estimation that it would take several hundred thousand troops in Iraq for several years an overstatement. He said in September 2002 on Meet the Press that the administration, Bush administration, knew, quote, with absolute certainty that Saddam Hussein was procuring equipment needed to enrich uranium and build a nuclear weapon. None of that turns out to be true. Is he wide open to attack by John Edwards there?
Well, I think on many things he's wide open to attack on Iraq. I think it's particularly telling that this debate is happening just a day after Paul Bremer, who headed the coalition provisional authority, said in a speech to a private business group that we didn't have enough troops in Iraq. But at the same point, the nuclear weapon point is the hardest case for John Edwards to make, because in his own support of the war in early 2003 and in the fall of 2002, he continually pointed to the danger that Saddam had a nuclear weapons program as a major part of his rationale for then supporting the war.
James Mann, is it fair for John Edwards to say tonight, well, you know, there's been a lot of reporting over this last weekend that the administration knew a lot more about doubts on this nuclear equipment than it let on in public? Can John Edwards say, Mr. Vice President, you knew this wasn't likely true, you misrepresented it to the country, you misrepresented it to me?
That's a fair point. Yes, it's certainly a fair point for him to make. I think what you can expect is that Cheney will keep on going away from the details of what was known and what wasn't known to the broad theme that he and the administration were we're protecting the country.
But he, on the campaign trail, he's gone to those details again and again, even after things appeared to have been disproven on the relationship between alleged between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda. He comes back to that again and again, even after the 9/11 commission. And this week, even Donald Rumsfeld cast some pretty sharp doubt on that.
Yeah, I think we're talking about details in a different way. He only goes so far. He'll come up with the details that he wants to cite, but in when questioned about the nuances, then he'll go so far as to say, you know, we thought there was a link, or sometimes he'll say there was a link. But then when pressed, or when pressed with other with contending points of view, he'll just keep on going back to the broad themes.
Back to broad themes, and we'll see just how that plays out tonight. We're talking about the Cheney-Edwards debate. It starts in just about half an hour now. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. Matthew's calling from Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Matthew. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Good to have you.
Yeah, as you just said, I'm in North Carolina, Edwards country, and the point I wanted to make is, you said it earlier in the broadcast, I fully agree, why is it that Cheney comes across with the bearing and presence of being, you know, potentially the most influential VP in our administration's history? I think the fact that he's got that CEO background, you know, secretary position, congressman, all that carries a lot more weight. And what I think is going to happen is you're going to have this classic scenario of old dog meets young puppy. Puppies are cute. Puppies run around, chase their tails. I'm not downplaying the fact that Edward's sharp. He's surely going to be good with argument. But I think when you're talking about leadership of the strongest office in the world, that people are still going to defer to that confidence, that CEO leadership, and say, you know what, I want somebody I can rest assured is really going to have the even keel, the wisdom, and the experience. And I think it outranks it. Call it paper, scissors, rock. You know, Edwards has the sharpness of the scissors. I think he got an 800-pound gorilla in Cheney, and I think that's where he's going to go down.
Matthew, what about John Edwards' populist appeal? He makes it on the stump. Can that work against Dick Cheney sitting at the table in Cleveland?
Well, you know, they played that up more a couple of months ago, you know, both the Johns, when they were saying, hey, the handsome guys, we're the guys with the good hair or whatever, in the People magazine comments. Again, that's cute, but, you know, this is not student body council election here. I'm in North Carolina. I work the territory where all the mills are closed. It's not unlike Eastern Tennessee. You don't find big core supporters in his home turf. And here in the local media with the campaign for Kerry, it's as if he's running solo. I mean, they have buried Edwards because, you know, he's not Melvin Belli of the Mid-Atlantic. This whole trial lawyer thing really cost him. So I don't know about up in, you know, in Boston, but down here you'd think he was the invisible man.
Matthew, we've got it, and thanks for your call from North Carolina. Walter Shapiro, what about that? John Kerry's role in this campaign, Dick Cheney's been an attack dog. It's not clear that John Edwards has been. Has he been marginalized? Is the Kerry campaign happy with the role that he's played?
Well, I think to some extent all vice presidential challengers are marginalized. I mean, because Edwards is neither the Democratic nominee, nor does he have the power of a Dick Cheney. And you know, I keep coming back to Richard Nixon's famous adage, a vice president cannot help you, he can only hurt you. Of course, that didn't prevent Nixon from running twice with Spiro Agnew.
But Dick Cheney's been out there landing blows on John Kerry, and perhaps some of that has stuck. Has there not been room for John Edwards to be more aggressive? Or has he been aggressive and just not reported? Or has he been maintaining his John Sunshine image at the expense of the potential attack dog role in the campaign, Walter?
Well, when I sat down with Edwards for the last time about 2 weeks ago in Cleveland, I raised just that point with him. Why are you so invisible? And his argument, I'm paraphrasing his counter response, was I'm really going to secondary markets. I'm really making the case for the ticket. And, you know, it isn't my fault the press isn't writing it up.
Simple as that. Jack Beatty, what about this issue of cute versus tough at the table tonight? Which do you say is the stronger hand, given the context?
Well, I mean, Dick Cheney is a master of condescension, and I think we're going to see a lot of that. It's partly in that the set of that lip, you know. But Matthew raised this question of gravitas, CEO gravitas. I see his point. That's the persona. But the performance is a guy who's kind of been the author of disaster after disaster. At Halliburton, he was instrumental in buying into an asbestos company just when the asbestos problems broke out. He deliberately, I don't know, but he certainly mismanaged the energy crisis relative to California the first year of the administration. His fingerprints are all over the Iraq War and the unilateral cast of it, especially. His aide, Scooter Libby, is one of the people being investigated for perhaps outing Valerie Plame, the CIA operative. And, you know, I mean, before Bush gave his came out for the corporate reform bill, Kerry, I mean, Cheney counseled him, oh, don't embrace that. Just ignore that. And of course, he did for a day or two until the outcry became. In other words, his political instincts, hard right again and again. I don't, you know, he's not been very successful, it seems to me. He's identified with flagrant actual failure, however politically popular it's been with the right wing.
With some part of the electorate, and we'll see how that goes up against the sunshine tonight. And I don't mean to say just the sunshine. Of course, John Edwards has his own critique and a serious one of what's going on in American society. Let's get another call here. Danny is calling from Boston. Hi, Danny. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, sure.
I think the point about Edwards being a sunshine boy and having talked about two Americans have been so positive had been really effective in the primaries to take him from nowhere to somewhere. But I think what America would love to see, given his lack of experience, especially being a wartime VP, would to be an amazingly surprising attack dog and turn a level of accountability onto this Halliburton CEO, you know, from the energy crisis to the CIA operative being outed, or to the fact that we're at war thanks to Cheney, and now his company, Halliburton, is making a ton of money as a result of it. The kind of aggressiveness that we haven't seen from Edwards, I think it'd be a great surprise for America. It would really help some of the critics who have worked that in a wartime situation. He simply is too experienced and too sweet to be the VP.
Danny, we've got it. And I guess, Walter, I've got to bring that back to you. Does John Edwards have it in him? Did he all, as a trial lawyer, let's say, did he always woo the jury with that kind of boyish stand-up posture for the underdog? Does he have the attack dog in him?
Well, he had a few moments as an attack dog in the campaign. There was a famous moment where, against the backdrop of Howard Dean talking about, I want to be the candidate for Southerners who have Confederate flags on their pickup trucks, Edwards walked up to Dean and really challenged him for his caricatures of the South. Mm-hmm. And it was a very effective moment. But what I keep coming back to is, in an odd way, Edwards has more writing on this debate if Kerry loses than if Kerry wins. If Kerry is not the president, Edwards is clearly running for president in 2008 in a field that probably includes Hillary Clinton, Howard Dean, probably some governors as well, and that the real issue is Edwards remembered as a strong vice presidential candidate on a losing ticket, or is he saddled with the Lieberman tag?
And that he was too soft, that he was a lightweight, and how does he make the impression on that score that he needs to make tonight, then, with the tougher line or with the embracing line that he wrote to his success in the primaries?
I think, and I'm guessing here, because, again, what's so fascinating about this is drama, is I don't think we can exactly imagine the approach of either candidate.
Yeah.
I think what Edwards will try to do is to deliver very sharply worded attacks with the smile.
James Mann, we hear Dick Cheney described by Jack Beatty as a master of condescension. Do you expect to see that tonight?
Can't tell. What I know we'll see, people talk of him, you know, one caller asked why he seems like the most powerful vice president. I mean, that as a matter of reality, from the beginning of the administration, he's assumed unusual power for a vice president. But what we'll see is the CEO voice. He has this voice that seems to appeal to the business community and to conservatives at the same time. That's uniquely Cheney. Whether it comes across as condescending, I'm not sure. That'll depend.
I want to turn to Alexandria, Virginia now and welcome into our conversation Jonathan Sallet. He was debate manager for Joe Lieberman in 2000 for the VP debate against Dick Cheney. He also did debate prep for Al Gore in 1992 and 1996. Jonathan Sallet, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
So if you were counseling John Edwards tonight on his confrontation with Dick Cheney, what would your advice be?
My advice would be, remember what a vice presidential debate is all about. Vice presidential debates are very unusual in our system of governance because they're two people talking about two other people. In other words, the election is not being decided between John Edwards and Dick Cheney in the most part. It's being decided between John Kerry and George Bush. This is a debate tonight about the two people who aren't on stage and which one of them will be president. And I think that's very important to remember because it's easy to get drawn in to the question of who's the other person at the table, what about their record, what about their votes, what do you want to say about their, say, corporate background, and forget that the larger impression that needs to be made is one on behalf of John Kerry and, frankly, one, if I were advising Edwards, that goes to the record of the Bush-Cheney administration. That's an important point. I heard someone say a minute ago that Joe Lieberman was viewed as too soft in 2000. Joe Lieberman executed what the Gore campaign wanted in 2000, and they wanted a debate that didn't focus personal attacks on Dick Cheney. The one big advantage John Edwards has now over what we had in 2000 was that he's got the record in Iraq, on the economy, on health care, that he can talk to, cite facts and figures in order to challenge Dick Cheney.
So would you advise him to go after Dick Cheney on that because Cheney's seen as so strong in this administration, or to train his fire on George Bush?
I think two things about that. First of all, remember the format of this debate. They're all sitting at a table. In my experience, style differences tend to get lessened when people are physically that close to each other. Think about it. Candidates on the stump can be very critical of each other. Candidates standing at lecterns 12 feet apart tend to be less critical. Candidates sitting next to each other tend to be less critical still. And style differences tend to get erased. In that setting, I think the focus will be on substance more than one might think. And the substance, from Edwards' point of view, is clearly going to be his attack on the record and his attack that in places like Iraq, on issues like the economy and health care, the Bush-Cheney administration doesn't have a plan for the future.
Walter Shapiro, I know we've got to let you go. Do you think Dick Cheney can claw back the polls for President Bush tonight?
No, I don't, because I think this is a Bush responsibility. Again, I think there's a limit. I think Cheney's big accomplishment for Bush would not be furthering the damage.
Walter Shapiro with USA Today, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thanks so much.
We are talking about the Cheney-Edwards debate, the men, the issues, and the stakes. You can join us, 1-800-423-8255, just 20 minutes now. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about the Cheney-Edwards debate coming up in just 15 or 20 minutes now. You can join our conversation tonight. What is your question tonight for Dick Cheney, for John Edwards? After all his apparent misrepresentations about Iraq, is Dick Cheney damaged goods, or is he still large and in charge? And John Edwards, does he have the gravitas to be a heartbeat away from the presidency? Can he show that at the table with Dick Cheney tonight? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm joined tonight from Silver Spring, Maryland, by James Mann, author of Rise of the Vulcans, The History of Bush's War Cabinet. From Alexandria, Virginia, by Jonathan Sallet. He was debate manager for Joe Lieberman in 2000 for the VP debate against Dick Cheney. And now joining us, also from Alexandria, Virginia, Jonathan Last. He's online editor at the Weekly Standard. Jonathan Last, thanks for being with us tonight.
Problem, Tom.
So what's your advice to Dick Cheney dealing with this whippersnapper from North Carolina?
Well, he's not just a whippersnapper. He's an excellent politician, sort of a natural born orator, a very, very smart guy, a pretty good debater, as we saw all through the Democratic primaries, and an accomplished lawyer, too. And the first thing you can't do if you're Dick Cheney is take him lightly and assume that you're just going to walk in there and wipe the floor with him. I think what Cheney has to do is what he's always pretty good at doing, which is being long on detail and specifics, and very, very long on sort of slow and deliberate delivery. And I think he's going to be helped if the debate is shifted towards foreign policy. And I think he's going to be hurt if the debate is shifted more towards domestic issues, where John Edwards can really make hay with his biography and his really very compelling pitch about populism and his own life story.
What kind of vulnerability do you see Dick Cheney having on the foreign policy side tonight, on his statements, which appear to have been disproven by events, that the U.S. would be greeted, troops would be greeted as liberators, that General Shinseki was wrong on troop requirements, that there was absolute certainty about the nuclear weapons development program in Iraq. Is that wide open red meat for John Edwards tonight, or does he have a way of countering?
No, I don't think. I actually think that that the foreign policy stuff is really going to be Cheney's long suit. If you look at Dick Cheney, he's actually, you know, an incredibly smart, responsible guy in all of this stuff. This is when the Bush administration was trying to find somebody to put out following September 11 to go and meet the press and talk to Tim Russert and do the difficult interviews. They sent out Dick Cheney. He's always been very careful with his words. I know he's gotten this reputation as being the guy who misrepresented things and is the Darth Vader of the Bush administration, but I think that that's largely undeserved. And I think that Edwards is going to actually, if he does anything on this, is going to have to try to go a little bit to the right of Cheney and prove that he and John Kerry really do want to be for a stronger America. They want to, you know, be harder than the Bush administration is of being on the war on terror. And so I think that, you know, when you see Edwards engage on this, he's going to be moving not so much to attack Cheney, but to move off to the right and make the positive case for the Kerry Edwards team.
Let's take another call. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. What's your question, your advice for Cheney, for Edwards tonight? Bill is calling from Buffalo, New York. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Great show.
Thanks, Bill.
I'd like to see I agree with your guest. I think that Cheney's going to definitely stay on Kerry probably for the entire night. But you know what? I think this is the one night that if he wanted to go directly at Edwards, it would be on this Two America thing here where, you know, I work two full-time jobs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
80 hours a week for 3 straight years, and I've fallen into the AMT tax, and so I know what it's like to pay a lot of taxes and work unbelievably long hours. And
so,
I think this would be the one night that you know, Cheney could turn it around and point to Edwards and say, you know, you keep trying to pass yourself off as, you know, the common man, and, you know, you understand that, you know, there's two Americas, and you're with the, you know, the one that's working like I am, and go after his record and find out, hey, were you against the child tax credit, which for me with a lot of kids was a lifesaver. And, you know, I know Kerry voted against it, and I'm not sure if Edwards did or not, but I just think that this would be the one opportunity in the eyes of America to say, hey, this guy isn't, you know, the working man's example. This guy's, you know, 26 million. I was brought out today that he sheltered $600,000 in you know, legitimate legal ways. But, you know, he shelters his money like most of the people, most of the rich.
Bill, I want to understand where you're coming from. You're working two jobs, and you don't like the Two Americas theme because with those two jobs you're making some pretty good money, and you're afraid that John Edwards is going to tax it?
Well, no, it's the perception that you know, that Cheney's unbelievably wealthy, which he is, but so is Edwards, and that, you know, somehow he feels my pain, but Cheney doesn't. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, to me, it's just a matter of all the tax policies that just passed are, I mean, the child tax credit is, to anybody that's got kids, there isn't a better thing that's going to help you in your plight if you're working a lot of hours and you don't make a lot of money.
And you don't want to see that go away. Bill, we've got it. Jonathan, last, how do you see it on the Two Americas theme? If John Edwards begins to serve that up, put that in Dick Cheney's face, what kind of response do you anticipate?
Well, I think the theme that the Bush administration has always tried to sound on these domestic issues is one of personal responsibility, and this is where the tax cuts come from and all sorts of the other programs that they've moved towards, you know, the faith-based initiatives. I think that if John Edwards comes out with the Two Americas, I think Cheney will do the same type of response that you saw at the Republican rather convention, which is to say, the Democrats see two Americas, we see one America. And I think that probably John Edwards won't be as explicit as that. If he wants to make that line of attack, he's going to talk about his own personal upbringing, how he came from a, you know, a poor family, the son of a mill worker, was the first in his family to go to college, then became a successful lawyer. And I think that personal biography is very powerful. And I think that probably Dick Cheney does not want to engage on that ground.
Let's get another call. Michael's calling from Durham, North Carolina. Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks.
Yeah.
First, just a couple things quick. First of all, the caller from Greensboro earlier said that Edwards wasn't getting much press in North Carolina. I'd like to point out he's in the Republican center of the state. The press has not been quite so has been more covering of Edwards elsewhere.
Okay.
Throw that out. The other thing is I actually have a relative who was involved peripherally on the opposite side of Edwards in a trial case here before his political career.
How did that go?
Well, it was interesting. From my point of view, which is obviously biased, I really think that Edwards, the facts were against him in this case, and there was some hope that things were going to go the way of sort of our way, to extend myself into this, until Edwards came in for the closing argument, at which point it was just sort of all went out the window. He's that good in these debate situations. He's probably one of the best trial lawyers in the country, bar none. He really is a superstar in the courtroom, which is why he had this meteoric rise. Now, Cheney is rock solid. That's why I sort of agree with your earlier commentators. This should be great tonight because Cheney knows where he's coming from. He's got his facts and everything. But Edwards is a master rhetorical argument.
And you've seen it in action in the courtroom and saw how he won in that closing statement. Michael, yeah?
But I've heard sort of the fear from the other lawyers of, oh, goodness, here comes Edwards. And it's true. So
he's something to see, and of course that is the reputation. Michael, thanks for the call. Jack Beatty, two gladiators here tonight with very, very different styles.
Oh, yes, and I think just, for John Edwards to keep his arms down is going to be a big challenge. He punctuates everything with these dramatic gestures of hand and arm. Thinking about this issue of, how good they are, Cheney is extremely good at this kind of thing. People were bowled over in 2000 at that debate with Lieberman. They're saying, substance, this is what we want. And, there may be a danger here. Maybe I'm just being perverse, but there may be a danger here in his doing too good a job in making Bush's case for him, because it may further the perception that Bush is, to a certain extent, Cheney's creature. I mean, and remind people that when the president testified before the 9/11 commission, he took Cheney along.
James Mann, how about that? Of course, the Democrats like to say George Bush is Dick Cheney's hand puppet in the White House. Can you imagine him being so masterful tonight, and I hope we're not falling into the spin expectations game here, but being so on top of the facts in a way that George Bush, by almost all accounts, was not beyond his basic message last week, that it would somehow shadow or diminish the president?
Well, I think there's something to that. Really, if Cheney overshadows Bush, it's a reminder of the reality of the Bush administration, that he's much more in touch with policy, and the question is whether the viewers will translate from the debate to how the Bush administration operates. I can't tell.
Let's get another call here. Dave's calling from Youngstown, Ohio. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks.
The reason I'm calling is earlier you had spoke about how John Edwards could get on Cheney concerning how the troops were welcomed in Iraq, and I just returned from Iraq on April 30th of this year.
Were you in the armed services, Dave?
Yes, I was in the United States Army.
Okay.
And when I was welcomed very, very well over there. I had women, children, even men coming and hugging us and saying thank you for liberating us and helping us. And I think I can't speak for all soldiers because I know not all soldiers were welcome that way, but there was a lot of soldiers that were welcome that way. And when I came home, it was kind of tough to come home to my family because I had got such a good friendship and bond with a lot of the Iraqi people. And a lot of the people that we had confrontations with were people from foreign countries like Syria, Iran, and Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia, and even Jordan, and it's kind of like, I think it's important for people to know that it's not just the Iraqi people attacking us. As a matter of fact, mostly it's insurgents from other countries.
Dave, we've got the message and the report from the front, as you experienced it, of that response from Iraqis. Jonathan Last, how about it? Do you think at the table tonight, given all the images that we've seen over these recent months, given all the attacks on American troops there, given the reports, what clearly is Iraqi resistance in some parts of the country, can Dick Cheney turn to John Edwards and say, you're just misrepresenting this? We've been received by the Iraqis who matter as liberators for getting rid of Saddam. Can he still stand up and say, or sit down and say that?
And the key here is sitting down. I think, as your earlier caller alluded to, this table desk format is really in favor of Cheney. Listen, I think that it, all the public opinion surveys, despite, you know, take apart what you see on the news, take apart what you see on the front page, the pictures of the New York Times, all the public opinion surveys that we've seen out of Iraq since the war, most Iraqis, even if they're suspicious of the occupation, even if they're suspicious of America's involvement over there, almost all of them say, you know, with very few exceptions, that they think their life is better now than it was 2 years ago and is going to be much, much better still 12 and 24 months down the road. I think that that's a pretty powerful case for Vice President Cheney to make. And I think it's one that John Edwards certainly should anticipate, and I don't think he should press him on that.
And Jonathan Sallet, we've heard this notion tonight that perhaps John Edwards should or will try to position himself very hawk-like so that Dick Cheney can't round him on that front. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so for two reasons. I think on Iraq, the question that Edwards is going to raise is not whether it's a good thing that Saddam Hussein is out of power. The question is, did this administration have a plan for success? And there's a lot of stuff he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about intelligence, disputes over weapons of mass destruction. He's going to talk about Paul Bremer's recent statements about troop levels being insufficient at one time. He's going to talk about Donald Rumsfeld's recent comments about not having seen evidence of the kind of ties other people have seen between al-Qaeda and Iraq, perhaps. I think it's going to be a question of plan and preparedness. And I think that's likely to dovetail, frankly, to what he's going to say about domestic affairs. One of your callers suggested John Kerry had voted against the child tax credit. I believe he only voted against anything like that when it was tied to tax cuts for very wealthy. Edwards is going to be a very strong spokesperson on the question of the middle class squeeze, lowering taxes for the middle class. That's his platform, rescinding taxing cuts for the very wealthy. So I think it's not going to be a question of left or right. I think Edwards is a very eloquent spokesman on issues of hope and optimism, and he's going to try to convey the notion that Kerry embodies that hope in a better way than the incumbent president.
Well, we will see in just a few minutes exactly how this is going to play out. Quite a matchup that we're looking at here tonight. Jonathan Sallet in Virginia tonight. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Jonathan Sallet, debate manager for Joe Lieberman in 2000. And Jonathan Last, the Weekly Standard, thanks very much for being with us tonight. Great to have
you. You're welcome, Tom.
And James Mann, author of Rise of the Vulcans, the History of the Bushes, War of Bushes, War Cabinet in Silver Spring, Maryland tonight. Jim, it's been great having you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Jack, we've just got 40, 50 seconds here. This really is going to be something. I mean, there's a lot to go at on the substance, but two such different men sitting at that table. America's going to get an eyeful and earful tonight.
It really is, darkness and light. I mean, I don't mean to disparage Dick Cheney. He takes a grim view of the world, and the world is pretty grim. But John Edwards is just the opposite. Everything tomorrow is a brighter day, and it's going to be something.
Well, we will sit back and enjoy, hope for a little enlightenment here along the way. Jack, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. The debate coming right up. This is On Point.
Funded by you, our listeners, and by Gregorian